This is a very simple message, but we're going to delve into things that are very important to remember in our life in Christ. Maybe you haven't embraced Jesus. Maybe you're here, you don't know about all this church stuff or whatever. But let this be some good news to get your heart stirred to the good God that we have and that we serve. But this is just, again, this is these are simple truths that I think if you latch on here and listen up, that it's a good thing to get into a habit of. And if you go to this church, that's an excellent place to be, because we're constantly reminded of the goodness of God. And we're constantly reminded that of the gospel of grace and his unmerited favor. And this all ties into that, but this has just been something on my heart. So let's get right into this. I got to remember which way to swipe on my, there we go. I think I swiped one too many times. But here we go. This is a quote from Martin Luther. Thank you, Pastor Chad. It says, "We need the gospel every day because we forget the gospel every day." And I actually had, not to, I don't know how this is going to sound, but I've had this thought outside of knowing this quote from Martin Luther. And I've said it many times, not exactly like this, but I've said it about myself. I seem to forget the gospel, the message of the gospel in my own life. I seem to forget the goodness of God easily. And especially in those times where, just where maybe I goof up, I screw up, I make a wrong decision, I go off on my family, whatever, you know, just get all kind of rattled and stuff. And my conscience will start bringing condemnation. And then I'll, you know, when you experience condemnation, it's just this ball that keeps rolling and gathering, and it gets worse and worse and worse, and you kind of beat yourself up over it or whatever. So in recent weeks, I've had situations like that where I've walked into church, I've exploded on my wife or whatever, and just like let her have it, you know, and I'm just like, ugh. And the whole day, I feel like crud. I took care of it, but it's like there's still this, in the way of, you know, gathering the family, everybody heard dad explode, so we're going to sit down. I was wrong. Please forgive me. All this stuff, but there's still that ripple effect. And a sister here called me out one day on it. I was leaving, and she said, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm fine." And she goes, "No." She goes, "What's going on?" And I goes, "I just had a little issue, and I, you know, I kind of got upset and was a big dork." And she goes, "Well, don't beat yourself up." She goes, "You know, it's only going to get worse if you do, right?" I'm like, I mean, I spent the whole morning beating myself up. So she, thank God for sisters and brothers in Christ that reach out and encourage you. So we know the gospel here, I'm just echoing what I've heard, but the gospel is that news that's almost too good to be true. It's a God coming to earth as man and giving us new life by giving his life. We were dead in our trespasses and sin. And he came to give us life. And that is the good news. So no condemnation. We need to remember about no condemnation. One of the, I think it was the first message I was able to give here was on about the subject of condemnation. But when I was looking into that and finding definition for it, one of the definitions is unfit for use. Unfit for use. And that's the way a person feels when they feel condemned. They feel, in a lot of the 90s, I'm not going to delve into my own part of my personal testimony or anything, but a lot of the 90s, I felt condemned because of my lack of good deeds, doing what I know was right to do, doing good. Pastor Chad kind of touched on it. In the beginning, when he said, you know, about reading a chapter a day, and you know, well, that's not enough. Maybe you should read two chapters. You've been a Christian for a long time. You should read a whole book a day, probably. You know, so I got into that kind of a weird mindset. I came from a place, just to give you some frame of reference. I received an amazing miracle in 1991, and and just really experience the love of God in a way that I can't describe, and I'm not going to get into that, but just overwhelming. And I was just enraptured and just really experienced God in an amazing way. And slowly after that, I started again. My relationship with God is, you know, whatever it was, things started compiling in my life and things. So I felt like I was at this great pinnacle, this great place, and never wanted to come down. And everything was awesome. And you know, it just, again, I don't know how to put it into words, but slowly this condemnation started creeping in, and it was that exact mindset that I wasn't doing enough. Now, I didn't do anything to get this relationship, this experience of realizing how much God loved me, but it became this thing where I was starting to stumble and just get in this muck and mire of a condemned life. And my mindset was, I've gone too far. God, I thought God was unhappy with me. I thought God was mad at me. I thought I disappointed him. I thought he was done for me. And in essence, I felt unfit for use to anything he may want for me. So that's what we're going to get into. And that's going to be, that's why, you know, God, I believe God laid this on my heart. Just these are what we're going to get into is these are great things to remember. Say it however you want to do it, you know, things to not forget. And again, if you put yourself in a place like Charis New Testament Church where you're hearing the gospel all the time, that's a great place to be. So let's get into this. So no condemnation. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We know that those who are in Christ Jesus are us who have embraced Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the gift of salvation. He is the only way to the Father. And when you are in Christ, we learned here that it's actually a baptism into Christ. We are baptized into Christ Jesus. I don't want to get ahead of myself because there's a lot of scripture here, but you are never, ever, God never, ever brings condemnation to you. God never does that. And I've heard some people say that the Holy Spirit brings condemnation. And no, he doesn't. We're going to see that in a second. But the cool thing about this, I underscored the word now. Now means just not ever. It's always now. It always updates itself. So if you feel condemned in your life for anything or thing you've done or haven't done or just that your mindset, you feel easily condemned, it is not God. It is never God. It is never God. We're going to see in a second. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit in John 16:8-11. It says, and when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. And righteousness is available because I go to the Father. And you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of the world has already been judged. So this first clarifying part of the verse here, the sin of the world, the only sin that separates people from God is that refusal of Jesus, the one gift. God's not sending people to hell. People choose life or death, and Jesus is life. That is the only thing, is the refusal of the one gift of Jesus in this life that's keeping people from a relationship with God. That's it. It's not because of their lifestyle. It's not because of something they've done or haven't done or whatever. It's the refusal of Jesus' love made flesh. God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. So that's simple. Don't get caught up in, I know people can get caught up in categorizing sin and all this stuff, and oh, this person's going to hell because they did whatever their lifestyle is and stuff like that. No, it's a rejection of Jesus, and that's kind of where it ends. There's no sin problem. Sin's been taken care of. Jesus became sin for us, and that's good news. But I want to focus in on this about the word righteousness. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father. The Holy Spirit, for a new creation in Christ Jesus, for someone who has embraced Jesus, the Holy Spirit convicts us and reminds us of our righteousness in Christ. That word just means right standing, and we're gonna get into that. But that's the Holy Spirit's job, is to convict us, a believer in Christ, of our right standing with Him. And that He convicts the world of their need for Him, of their need for a Savior. That's what He does. He's not condemning the world. It says in this same chapter that, I know it's probably chapter 3, that He sent His Son to the world not to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. So He didn't come to condemn sinners. He came to save sinners. And when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. And so another job of the Holy Spirit is to continually guide us into the truth. What is the truth? The truth is the Word of God. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's only going to reaffirm and reassure and reinforce what the Word of God says about us, and that love of the Father has for us, and that desire that we abide in that love, and that we stay in that place of rest, resting in the love of the Father. The Holy Spirit, the old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition, have passed away. Behold, new things have come, because spiritual awakening brings new life. Our nature, this is another thing the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of, that we are a new creation. And some that expounded as a new species of being that never existed before when we embrace Jesus. And the Holy Spirit's going to remind us of our new creation status, our new creation position in Christ Jesus. We have went from our nature, the sin nature, is a nature of death. That we, you know, in Romans it says that the wages of the payment of sin is death. Now, see, sin exists. I have the ability to sin. Everybody has the ability to sin. And sin will, the result of sin, are death. It's going to eventually lead to death. But our nature, our sin nature, has changed after we've embraced Jesus into a nature of life. Before, sin was in, just flowing out. Now, after we embrace Jesus, sin is outside and it's trying to get its way in. We have the nature of God in us. And His nature, in Galatians 5, I believe it is, some of you have heard that the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control, that is a picture of the nature of God. And that's the nature that's inside of you as a believer in Christ Jesus. And these are all things that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of. You know, I don't need more patience. Patience is in me because the nature of God is in me after I've embraced Jesus. I don't need more self-control. No, the Bible says it's in me. It's in me. I have to yield to it. It's in me. I have to believe. One, you have to believe it's in you. And then maybe line up your mouth with, start declaring over yourself what God has declared over you. The sin nature, we've been told, is it's actually been cut off. It's been cut off. And got some great messages on circumcision back then, if you want to go back in the archives. But the sin nature has been cut off. It's not like we got two warring deals in us. So another thing to remember, you are in right standing with God. You are in right standing with God. And this was a real eye-opener for me back in the early part of around 2000. Because of that condemnation I kind of shared, I was under. One day, I remember, I make reference to this, but I was in a parking lot in Tennessee. I think my mom was there, and just this just this frustration. Like, I'm so tired of living in this mental little funk, you know, just this place. And I said, I don't care what it takes. I am chasing after God with all my heart. And that was it. It was like I drew a line in the sand, put my foot down, whatever little saying you want to throw there. And I was chasing, I was going after God. I'm like, something's not right here. This is not a good place to be. It's not the right way to live. There's more to this life than what I'm doing. This is not right. There's no way this is right. So after I had made that decision, just, you know, mentally, just like, I'm not turning around. Whatever I face, I'm going straight forward, and I'm going toward God. And somebody handed me a cassette tape series. Remember cassette tapes? I forget. It's called it's something to do with the heart. That was the title of it, by a guy named Mike Williams. But anyways, he talked in there about our right standing with God after we are born again, saved, we receive salvation through Jesus. We have right standing. We have right relationship with him. And I thought, wow, how come nobody ever told me this? And I had been in classes in a Bible school this was the whole class. And so that's how, you know, kind of a mental stronghold I think that had me in that frame of condemnation. But that truth, in John 8:32, it says, you know, we shall know the truth and the truth will make us free. Well, that truth, the Holy Spirit revealed that truth to me about my position in Christ Jesus, that I was made right because I chose Jesus. I embraced Jesus. And because of that, no matter how I felt, no matter what I thought, the truth is I was still in right standing with God. All through this little journey of, you know, misery, a few ups, you know, a few happy moments or whatever, but what I remember back then was just this condemning kind of frame of mind of condemnation. And this truth of our right standing with God made me completely free. And I learned right away that my feelings had nothing to do with it. However I felt, you know, our feelings are fickle. We're going to go up and down, up and down. But I saw it was very, very simple. And it takes a revelation by the Holy Spirit. I can talk to them blue in the face to try to help somebody understand that I don't care what you've done. Even after you've, you know, I was born again on March 3rd, 1983. I received new life through Jesus. And after that, I did a whole lot of crazy things. But the funny thing is, my right standing, my position in Christ Jesus, I was in right standing with God no matter what. Now, I don't remember being told this. I don't remember anybody expounding on this in my life. But when somebody did, I finally heard and I got revelation of it. It changed my life. It changed my life. I was done looking at me and my actions. Pastor Chad touched on this too, that my believing started to be right. And it started to produce in my life right actions. My right believing or my right thinking started to produce right actions and right behavior. I was trying to modify my behavior all the time and trying to, you know, whether it was trying to read a certain amount to maintain some level of pleasing God or not do something, but it's all to do with your changing your thinking, changing your mind to how God thinks. And I believe Andrew Womack said this, he has a topic on messages on an effortless change. And this change, there was an effortless change in my life. I didn't have to try. I just rested in my right standing with God. I really took a lot of time on that one, but let's read 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus, who never sinned, was made sin. And humans, we could do right things. You can do righteous things, things that are right and good, but it was never accounted to us. And just like, you know, Jesus had to be made sin by faith. How do you, he had to actually step into that role as the sacrifice for all of us. He never sinned. And he had to receive being made sin, all sin for all time, everyone's sin. And we, by faith, have to receive righteousness, the truth that when we say, yes, Jesus, be my Lord, be my Savior, it sounds a little simple, but at that moment, you are made right. You are made righteous by faith through grace. Grace is the, here, this is for you. Faith is the, thank you, I receive all that you have. Now, it might take a while to learn all that you have in Christ Jesus, but it sure is fun. Amen. And if you stick around here, you're going to learn. So, going back to my trying to modify my behavior or change what I was doing or not doing, sin, E.W. Kenyon, minister from years gone by, I believe this is a quote from him, says, sin makes cowards of men. And sin will, you know, that's just another avenue of for condemnation to come in and to just to rule you. You rule your mind and thinking. And that's what it did to me. You know, if I stumbled or fell or whatever, it would weigh on me heavy. And the beauty of hearing the message, that good news, which is part of the gospel, that we are made right by his blood, by just receiving by faith that grace, that mercy, that forgiveness. When I awoke to righteousness, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, I began to sin not. This isn't a former pastor said when I was getting all gaga over this message, I was so excited and I couldn't stop talking about it. And he said he pointed this scripture out and he said, "Have you ever seen that scripture?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "That doesn't mean, you know, wake up to righteousness now and stop sinning for crying out loud." It's saying that there's a reason that's in front of that. As we awake to righteousness, as we awake to the truth that we are made right in Jesus Christ, in his finished work, we won't want to sin. We won't, our heart, there's a heart change. We won't want to, our whole desire, our whole heart, our whole pleasure in life is to please the Father, is to, I don't know how, again, I can try to say what I'm thinking, what I want to say, but please awake if you haven't. Awake to righteousness. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal this truth to you. To reveal this, because we live, Pastor Chad touched on this too in the introduction, but we're going to learn some more here about the position we need to live from, not something we're trying to attain to. And I'm going to touch on a scripture in a few minutes, but let's continue on. Remember that God is good. Sometimes I forget about that, and I really forgot about that again through the 90s. And if you want a great theological teaching here, let me lay it down right now for you. God is good. The devil is bad. God good, devil bad. Okay? So there's your heavy-duty theology. You probably learned more than a lot of people coming out of seminary learned just now. But 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. Amen. Everybody knows love's good. It doesn't say God just loves. Of course he loves. We know John 3:16. That's the most famous scripture. They even tell you that one at the end zone in football games or whatever. But God is love. And in 1 Corinthians 13 gives us a picture of that agape love, the love of God, the nature of God, what his love is like. And God is good. Sometimes we forget that. I, along with probably lots of other people, just thought God was this guy in heaven with a stick, and every time I did something, he just hit me with it or whatever, or just went around kicking people just for fun. I don't know. But in Paul, there's three different books, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philippians, where Paul prays prayers over the churches. And in Ephesians 3:17, it says that he prays that we would be rooted and grounded in the love of God, having intimate knowledge of the love of Christ, and that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. Doesn't that sound fun? Being filled with all the fullness of God. And that's an amazing prayer. That this is first and foremost, this is huge. I want your lives to be rooted and grounded in the love of God. And the disciple, John, he was rooted and grounded in love. As we see through the Gospel of John five or so times, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loves. And he realized the love of Jesus. And even in his epistles, realized that. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. But to be rooted and grounded, to not forget that God is good. Psalm 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness, graciousness, mercy, compassion endures forever." His mercy endures forever. A lot of other scripture says, I mean, this is from The Voice, I believe, but, you know, the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and I'm so grateful for that. Grace is even better. It's getting what we didn't deserve, and we deserved, you know, death, but no, we were given new life in Christ Jesus through his finished work at the cross. And this is just one more scripture. I mean, I've heard this a million times, but how important it is for me to remind myself in those moments where I think it's, everybody has their little bent in their personality, if you will. Mine is, it's like you condition yourself, and the older you get, I just turned older a few days ago, but you condition yourself to go a certain way in your thinking. And for me, it's, maybe it's going to sound crazy, but I don't think so. If I experience something that's not good, I think, what did I do? My carnal mind wants to figure out how I made God mad. You know, that was the way I thought for decades. What did I do to make God upset with me? Like, I'm experiencing this, so okay, I'm off track somewhere. But no, I got to come back to this. For he is good. And a good God doesn't knock you around, kick you around, hit you with a stick when you mess up. A good God came to earth as a man and died a death that I couldn't die for myself. He saved me. He became one of us, and he poured it all out. He gave the greatest gift. Why would I question? Why would I question that he's not good? Acts 10:38, and you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So God was with Jesus, and he went around doing good all the time and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. And Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me, or asking me to show him to you? In John 14, 8 through 9. So if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. It doesn't get any more complicated than that. And in that verse in Acts, it says, he went around about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Look at the goodness. Look at Jesus. Get enraptured with what Jesus was doing in the Gospels. That's how good God is. Romans 8:32. Pastor Chad made this one of my favorite scriptures. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So that's a great place to start. If you think God's mad at you, or you screwed up too much, or you're too far gone, or whatever, this is a great scripture to remember. If he didn't spare, if he didn't withhold his very best, how will he not also with him freely give us all things in our life? He didn't withhold. He's already displayed the most awesome display of love that he could. It doesn't get any better than that. So it's ludicrous. Ludicrous. Am I saying that right? It sounds funny. Come out of my mouth. To think that he's mad at you. To think that you're too far gone. To think that all these crazy, totally opposite thoughts that are contrary to the goodness, to the word of God and what he says about you. I am in them and you are in me. This is Jesus praying in the Gospel of John to the Father. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. So there you go. That's like a grand slam right there. Jesus is praying that the Father will show us that we are in the same level of the love that Jesus receives. We are loved as much of the Father as much as Jesus is loved. And Jesus is praying that we would be shown that we would know that we would understand that. I realize that that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to believe, especially in whatever frame of mind you might be in. But God loves you as much as he loves Jesus. That's the truth. That's what I just read here. And remember how God sees you. Remember how God sees you. And again, you know, I saw myself completely contrary to how God saw me for so long. And then the day I started to see, I started to see how God sees me, changed everything. Colossians 1:22. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. I about fell off my chair the first time I read this scripture. So this is the way God sees us in Christ Jesus. He sees us holy and blameless in his presence as we stand before him without a single fault. Is it because we don't do faults? We don't make faults? No. He sees us in Christ. He sees us in Jesus. He sees us washed in the blood, clean. In Colossians 1:23, it says, but you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Don't drift away from the assurance you received when you heard the good news. Now that, this Colossians, this is good news, right? Is that, that's great news. It's awesome news. But in the verse following it, in verse 23, I don't have it up, but it's saying, you must believe this truth and stand firmly in it. it's not easy to stand firmly in it a lot of times, especially when you see your behavior or see your, you know, whatever. That's why it has nothing to do with our feelings. It has nothing to do with our emotions. It has nothing to do with, it's not about behavior modification. It's about standing firmly in this truth. And when we believe this, we grab hold of it, we embrace it, we start living out effortlessly this new behavior, this new way of life, when we start seeing ourselves like God sees us. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us, and we speak for Christ, and we plead, come back to God. So as God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, that word reconciling means setting, kind of bringing back into harmony with God. Now we are his representatives on this earth, and we are to plead, come back to God. We are his representatives. We get the honor of doing that in our life and reconciling the world, saying, hey, it's okay. Come to the Father. His arms are open. And however, whatever way we have opportunity to do that, sometimes it's just being light. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, but when you are joined with the Lord, you become one spirit with him. Isn't that crazy sounding? We are one spirit with the Lord. We are one spirit with the Lord. We are made that way. Not by our behavior, not by something we do, but this is a huge truth that we need to put ourselves in remembrance of. We are one spirit with the Lord. How can you think that you're not worthy of, or that you're unfit for anything? You're one spirit with the Lord. He's always on our side. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who comes from God and dwells inside of you? You do not own yourself. You have been purchased at a great price. So use your body to bring glory to God. And this is another thing. This is what the Holy Spirit's going to reaffirm in us, that we are mobile temples. We are walking around temples of the Holy Spirit. We are God's house walking around. We are God's body. We are God's hands and God's feet. We are walking around on this earth. Wherever we go, the kingdom of God goes. We need to remember that. We need to remember we are huge on the inside. The Spirit of the living God lives in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. That was the greatest display of God's power in history, is the raising of Jesus from the dead. And that same Spirit that raised him from the dead is inside of us. And it can lie dormant, or it can come alive as we renew our mind to that truth. Amen? Ephesians 2:6, he raised us up with him and seated us in the heavenly realms with our beloved Jesus, the anointed, the liberating King. So there's our position in Christ Jesus. We are seated with him. That's the position we live from. We are seated in high and heavenly places in Christ Jesus, another translation says. Should be aware of that we come from a place of victory, because Jesus won the victory. Jesus won the battle. And our position is to rest. And Pastor Chad, I think, brought that up recently, maybe last week, that scripture in Hebrews, labor to enter into his rest. And really, when you renew your mind and you put yourself in remembrance of these truths, it is a place of rest. It is a place of not toiling. When you begin to rest and just relax in the finished work of Jesus and see you see yourself the way he sees you. 1 Peter 2:24, this is how he sees us too. He took our sins in his body when he died on the cross, so that we, being dead to sin, we are dead to sin. Dead to sin. in our new nature, can live for righteousness. As the scripture says, through his wounds you are healed. Other translations say, by his stripes we were healed. So if you were healed, that means you are healed. Wholeness is ours. Wholeness belongs to us. That does mean physical wholeness. That does mean emotional wholeness. That's the whole ball game. Maybe there's physical things I've experienced in my life and still am, but am I going to look at that and magnify that over this truth? Am I going to walk in this thing? You know what? I know how I feel. I know what I see. But right here it says, by his stripes I'm healed. And that's what I'm going to remember. That's what I'm going to stick with. That's what I'm going to walk in. And that's, again, that's putting yourselves in remembrance. That's remembering how God sees you. He sees you whole because of what? Because of Jesus. Because of the stripes he bore for our wholeness. We're coming in for a landing. Lastly, remember, you choose your thoughts. We choose our thoughts. David says this. He said it in a very dire time. Psalm 103, 1 through 2 says, O my soul, come praise the eternal with all that is in me, body, emotions, and mind, and will. Every part of who I am, praise his holy name. O my soul, come praise the eternal. Sing a song from a grateful heart. Sing and never forget all the good he has done. David was telling himself, bless the Lord. He did not feel like blessing the Lord at this time. He's telling himself to bless the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy. Because he is good. For all the good he has done. So I would say step out on a limb. When you feel your worst, when you feel the crummiest, start blessing the Lord. Choose. You can choose. You don't have to wait for it. You can choose to change your mind and do that. Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in you and all those whose thoughts are fixed on you. And I've said this before, isn't staying in perfect peace, doesn't that sound good? And where is your mind fixed? Is your mind remembering things you have done or haven't done that weren't so great? Or are you remembering that God is a good God, that God is for you, he is not against you, that God is not your condemner, but he is your life giver? That's how we fix our minds on him. A mind focused on the flesh is doomed to death, but a mind focused on the Spirit will find full life and complete peace. Romans 8:6. Other translations say, to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnal mindedness, if you've been here before, for any great length of time, you know that carnal mindedness is living based on your feelings, your five physical senses, your hearing, your seeing, your tasting, smelling, touching. It's living a life based on all that. And that is just a life that leads right to death. If we follow that in our life, it's going to lead to a place of death. But to be spiritually minded is to actually believe and to see ourselves the way God sees us and to magnify that more than what we see our behavior as being like or whatever. But nobody in here would say, I don't want a life full of complete peace. Finally, brothers and sisters, fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy. Philippians 4:8. In Philippians 4:4, it says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. So if we're rejoicing always, and then we jump down to Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. How many things is anything? Everything. So don't worry about anything. It says, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. So our part would be rejoicing in the Lord always. That word rejoice in the Hebrew is actually kind of crazy sounding, but it's like to brighten up, to not let the enemy see that we are feeling any certain way, to jump up and down and then to spin around. That's rejoicing. That's rejoicing, returning to a place of joy. That's our part. And then our other part of ours is don't worry about anything. How easy is that to do? You can just choose not to. It's not going to, Jesus said, if, you know, what good is it to worry about? So you can't even grow an inch by worrying. Like, I'm paraphrasing. But it's not worth it. Worrying, don't be anxious. Another translation says, don't be anxious for anything. Don't have anxiety about anything. Some people think anxiety comes on you whether you want it or not. It's, no, I got to deal with this. You can choose not to be anxious. And then his part, Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God that we just heard about in a couple verses prior. The peace of God belongs to you. It's actually, I mentioned that a couple minutes ago. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's in you. It's in you. So, it was simple, but I would encourage you, remember these things. Remember God is good. Remember God's not your condemner. Remember to stop and to listen or read in his word. Remind yourself how God sees you. Remind yourself who you are in Christ Jesus. Remind yourself that you have right standing with him. If you don't, maybe this is your first time in through some church doors. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But God is here, and all you have to do, if you want a life like this, that sounds like this, all you have to do is say, Jesus, be my Lord. I embrace you. Take my life, do something with it. And he'll come in, and like that verse said earlier, you'll be a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your nature will change from a nature of death to a nature of life. You can do that anywhere, but just mean it. And I picked up this little one-liner. You know, I like the one-liners. And I thought that kind of applies to this. It said, successful people do consistently what normal people do occasionally. And I thought, I wasn't experiencing, and maybe the word success isn't the right word to use in this, but I wasn't experiencing a successful Christian life. So I was occasionally hearing things. But I would challenge you to consistently remind yourself of these truths. Consistently give yourself to hearing the good news of the gospel. Continue to give yourself to the truth versus your behavior or your situation, whatever that may be. Because God is for us.
That was awesome. And that's definitely something that we constantly have to do is remind ourselves who we are as a new creation in Christ Jesus. And as he was teaching, I was listening. This scripture came up to me. He quoted a lot of scriptures in Colossians, but he didn't quote this one. Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 6, it says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. In the Amplified Version, it goes this way. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in union with him, reflecting his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin, having been deeply rooted in him, now being continually built up in him, and becoming increasingly more established in your faith, just as you were taught, overflowing in it with gratitude. And I just think that sums up everything that Pastor Tom was saying today, is that how many of you, when you came to Christ, how did you come to Christ? By grace. By faith. By believing. And what happens immediately after you walk down that aisle and kneel down and say the prayer? we come alongside you, us mature spiritual people, and say, okay, now you better get to work. Don't we? Or you said it to yourself. Okay, I'm a Christian now, so I got to do something. I got to be something. No, you are something. You are something. The same way that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, simple faith and grace, is the same way that you now live in Him. By believing, by trusting. It's not about doing. It's literally, to use a Christmas analogy, it's literally, instead of, okay, now what do I got to do? No, it's going to the Christmas tree and looking under there all the gifts that you have. And then opening up one and saying, oh, there's joy. Then opening up another one and saying, oh, there's love. Open another one and there's peace. Oh, there's another one, righteousness. There's holiness. There's healing. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's power. There's the authority of the believer in this gift here. And these gifts are just, we should be excited about it. Opening all these things that are in you rather than trying to become. And that we need that remembrance over and over and over and over again. And I thank you for that. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you not only are you the author of our faith, you are the perfecter. You are the finisher of our faith. We thank you that we don't have to present ourselves as a spotless bride. The Word of God says that you present us spotless and without stain or wrinkle or any blemish or anything. We have been made perfect by Jesus, and we rest in that finished work of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we're 1,000 times bigger on the inside than we are on the outside. Holy Spirit, we just ask that you give us that revelation of our righteousness, our right standing in Christ Jesus, that you give us that revelation of who we are in Christ. And Father, we just ask that we would walk in the truth, in newness of life, and that we would remember, who we are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Charis New Testament Church. For more information or to contact us, go to www.charisntc.org. And remember, you are deeply loved, highly favored, and destined to reign in Christ Jesus.